Hey guys, coming up today on the show, Stingray Rob. Yes, that is his real name, Stingray Rob. He is in season two in IndyCar, driving the number 41 Chevrolet powered IndyCar with AJ Foyt Racing here in 2024. The NTT IndyCar series kicks off in just a couple days in Florida, the Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg, Sunday, March 10th. Stingray Rob is our guest today. And this is a guy who is living out his faith to the best of his abilities in IndyCar. This is a guy who has a Bible verse on his car. This is a guy who's holding faith nights at IndyCar races. He's also 21 years old. What a conversation this was. I enjoyed this so much, getting to know Stingray Rob here on Sports Spectrum. It's coming up in just a moment. First, I want to remind you about our Sports Spectrum magazine. You can get the magazine over at sportsspectrum.com. It's faith-filled, family-friendly content, clean content, perfect for kids, telling the stories of athletes and coaches in the world of sports who love Jesus. It's got devotionals in it. It's got feature stories. Our brand new magazine's coming out, our spring edition, in just a couple weeks. So make sure you subscribe right now over at sportsspectrum.com. And when you check out, use the code PODCAST15 on a one-year subscription. Podcast 15, and save 15% off a one-year subscription to the Sports Spectrum magazine. Go subscribe today. I promise you, you won't regret it. Do it over at sportsspectrum.com. Great to have Stingray Rob, IndyCar driver. He's joining us here today on Sports Spectrum. Hey, Stingray.
Hey, Jason. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. How are you? You doing all right?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good. It's great to have you here on the show. We got to start with the name, because just get it out of the way. Fans are going to ask. People listening are going to ask. We know they're asking. I'm guessing you're asked this on every single interview you've ever done. And if you're not, I guess the person interviewing you isn't doing their job. But Stingray is your real name, right?
Yeah, that's correct. And, you know, you said it. I think that if there's been a million people that I've met, I've told the story a million times on how I got this name, but it worked out well. At least I'm not an accountant now and trying to deal with people's money. You usually don't trust someone named Stingray with that much money. So, but yeah, I am a product of parents that loved Corvettes. Therefore, the name Stingray came after the Stingray Corvette. That's a fun and more descriptive side of the story of how I became a race car driver, but the more boring side, it's kind of a combo deal. My dad's side of the family's heritage is from Stirlingshire, Scotland. And so Sting is actually short for Stirling. And both of my grandfathers had Ray in their name. And so we took that whole deal along with the love and passion for Corvettes and got Stingray out of it. So here I am, 22-year-old race car driver.
So in your on your birth certificate, it says Stingray or it says Sterling Ray?
It says Sterling Ray, but we had it. Legal. I mean, it's been Stingray from the time I came out of the womb, pretty much. I mean, my grandma held me up in the hospital and said, "I'm so sorry about your name," because she knew my name was Stingray, and made my parents do something so I could actually revert back if I needed to. But Stingray is my real official legal name, and it's who I've been from day one.
Now, it's sort of destiny, obviously, to go from being named Stingray to do what you're doing, racing every weekend. But does it ever get tiring? Because you just know, okay, like in school, like, come on, Stingray, your real name, like that. I don't know. I'm just imagining that has to be exhausting sometimes to have to answer this question for every single person you meet.
Yeah, it can be. you know what's funny is the best interactions that I have are the most genuine ones, where people are like, "Ah, Swordfish, good to see you again." You know, and so it's funny things like that. Like my best friends in high school, they used to call me Jellyfish or Swordfish just to poke fun at me. But yeah. When people have fun with it, I'm willing to have fun with it too. So it works out well. And it's a good way for people to remember who I am.
Nice. Well, the other name that we both love is Jesus. So I figured let's start there once we got the name out of the way of how Stingray came about. Tell me about Christ in the life of Stingray, Rob.
Yeah. I mean, where could we start? I've grown up in the church a little bit. My parents were the ones that kind of founded my faith and my grandparents. But I was actually homeschooled until about seventh grade by a lady from our church. And she instilled in me a love for the Bible. And she lived it out. And so I got to sit in her home in her living room. And I'd be studying math or science, whatever else that we were doing on that day. And I got to see her interact with her family and her life. the way that Christians are called to live. And it was really cool because it allowed me to kind of see somewhere outside of my own home. And that, this is actually the way that you can do it. This is the way that you're called to live. And so, there's a lot of Bible verses that keep my mind going a lot of the time that she had me memorize sitting in her kitchen at her kitchen table. And so, that's kind of where my faith got started. But, Jesus to me nowadays, I mean, I've worked on building this paradigm, the worldview of who is God to the world? Who is Jesus to the world? Because it's really easy, I think, to get so focused on that, oh, it's about me, it's about me, it's about me, especially in racing, as a driver, that faith challenges me to stay humble and stay committed to what really matters. And so that faith is super important for me to keep that grand view of who is Jesus to the world and what is my role in that. I just want to be a pawn in his play. He's the King and King and Lord of Lords. So I need to be able to submit to that and hopefully he'll take care of the rest.
So you're just 22, like you said, but was there, can you pinpoint a moment in the last few years? Because the faith of your parents obviously is great. I mean, I hope that my daughter someday, she's 20 or soon to be 20, will say, yeah, it came from my mom and dad instilling these values into me. But ultimately that becomes her faith. Do you have a time frame when when you said, okay, this faith has got to be mine now. It can't just be my parents'.
Absolutely. I think that there's been several key moments through racing actually that have kind of led me to that personal faith rather than through my parents or through my teachers or through my grandparents, whoever else it may be. One of those stories actually was probably the most impactful was 2020. I was going into I think my third or fourth year in the series. It was the AA ladder on the road to Indy, the road to IndyCar. And it was a make it or break it year for me. And if I didn't win the championship, I was done racing forever. And so this was kind of like a lot of pressure on my shoulders as an athlete, as well as just for me personally, because I didn't want to give up the dream. It's not something that I really thought about doing. It's I from day one, I wanted to go fast. I wanted to sit in the backseat of my mom's car and have her romp on the throttle, leaving a stop sign or stoplight, whatever else. And then when I got to the point where I was driving go-karts, I mean, when I saw my first go-kart, I said, as a 5-year-old, I've waited my whole life to be five. And so all along the way, this has been building. And so when 2020 rolled around, amongst, COVID and other things, there's a lot going on. But I went to this racetrack and I was in the run for the championship and qualified like third or fourth in this race and went and finished that race in like 10th. And I had no excuses. I mean, 10th was a bottom of the barrel finish. And I couldn't look to point fingers at anyone. I mean, it was just me. Like, I drove off the track twice. I spun out. Like, I just drove so poorly. And when I came into the pits, I had a driver coach, and he's this short little Brazilian driver. And he usually has wise words of encouragement to say, but he just shrugged his shoulders. And at that point, I was like, all right, that's it. Like, I'm fed up. So I threw my helmet in my cubby and I went for a walk, and I ended up taking a knee out in this field and started praying. And I was like, all right, God, I've given as much as I know how to give for as long as I can remember. I'm either not good enough, I fail too often, someone runs into the back of me, the car falls apart, tire falls off. I can't do it anymore. I give up. And in that moment, one of the verses my homeschool teacher gave me, made me memorize, was James 1. And that verse came flooding back to me. It was like a wave. And I've heard of you talk about it on this podcast before, but James 1 says, consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. So let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. In that moment, I think that that was the myelin in my brain firing together, like, all right, this is my faith to have in God. This is my chance to give it all to him. And so I said, all right, God, I'm giving it to you. I hadn't won a race in the road to Indy at that point. I was 49 races into the series so far, 49 race starts. And in that moment when I turned it over and I gave up myself, I gave up. I had the faith to be delivered from it, and also the faith to not be delivered from it. And I won my first race the next day, and that I ended up winning that championship, getting a scholarship that would propel me onto the AAA ladder, and then it would eventually propel me on into IndyCar. But that was probably one of the key moments I remember in my faith personally of where the light switch kind of came on. And I said, all right, this is all intertwined. God doesn't give us passions and abilities to just stand by and watch us do that, and then we go to church on Sunday. I mean, he wants us to be intertwined with him at all stages of our life and in our career and our passions.
Wow, that's a great story. And I think, you know, consider it joy when you face trials of many kinds, and it tests you, and it, you know, produces perseverance in you. You said if you didn't win a championship, your racing career is over forever. I obviously love the story, but you're 18 at that time. Is it really that serious that your racing career could have been over? I mean, there wasn't any other avenue, at least in your mind, that you could have gone down, like, this was it?
I mean, yeah, pretty much. That was early enough in the stages where you're still proving yourself. You're still proving your ability. And I hadn't won a championship in cars. I mean, I'd won many in go-karts. I'd traveled the world go-kart racing. Yeah. And at this point, I'd been racing cars for 3 or 4 years full-time, 3 years full-time. And I just hadn't shown I had that ability. And I'd been working on it, and I'd been trying to be patient and have the faith and do all the right things, but it just wasn't working out. I mean, I'd qualify on pole. And qualify first, rather, and that's what they call on pole. And then going to turn one, and a guy from fifth or sixth would just pile drive me and spin me out. And it was just things like that repetitively, or I would fail. I mean, I would just drive off the track by myself. I'd go in the dirt, come back on, fall into second place. And it happened all the time. And I had that in go-karting too, but I also had the good days. You know, the highs and lows of racing are all over the place. And so I'd seen those highs on the go-kart days. I just hadn't had it for so long. It felt like it was kind of becoming the end of the road. And I think that was the bottom of the barrel for me. Like I said, that was a reset I needed to be able to put that faith where I needed to.
Did you find that reset kind of brought you more peace and allowed you to, it's never going to guarantee success in the eyes of the world, right? It doesn't mean if you give your life to the Lord the next day, you're going to throw 5 touchdowns and your team's going to go undefeated. But it does produce a peace in you, you know, that perseverance that Bible verse mentioned that James talks about. Did you start to see that going forward? Because obviously a lot of success did come your way over the next few years.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I started to have fun again. I think that there was a couple years there where I wasn't having fun because there was this constant cage that I felt trapped in, and I needed out somehow. And that failing was the way out, I guess, and turning it over to something that was bigger than myself. And for sure, I think that joy, that peace, it was because of the weight becoming not my weight, it was his weight.
Failing is what we need to do. It's just, that's scripture, right? It's all backwards from the world, right? Deny yourself. Absolutely. He must become greater. I must become less. You know, failure is actually, you know, what produces perseverance. It doesn't make any sense, but it makes complete sense, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, John 3:30. That's the verse I run on my helmet as a reminder all the time, because it's every day. Every day I sit in that race car, I want to make myself greater, but it's not for my glory, it's for his glory. And when I keep that center and up front, it helps a lot with how I handle things.
No doubt. Stingray Rob is our guest here on Sports Spectrum. Definitely the coolest name of any guest we've had in 7 years on this podcast. I want to talk about last year, 2023. Was a big year for you. It was your first in IndyCar. You qualified and at your first Indy 500. So many cool things were taking shape. What reflections do you have when you think about last year and all that went down?
Yeah, I mean, I was most known for my failures last year. crashing in the Indy 500 halfway through the race was one of those things. And
sure,
it was a challenging season for me. And there was good things, some bright lights in the midst of it all, but people weren't able to see that a lot of times. So I had to focus on the people around me, you know, my support group a lot of times during the 2023 season. And also just kind of keeping my eyes up and looking forward, because it's one of those things where it's like, I feel like there's a season for everything. And for myself, I know that my talent, my ability, it doesn't usually come on day one. It's from hard work and dedication and through consistent practice that I get better. And when I'm at my best, I'm going to be able to do some amazing things. I think that just comes from God keeping me humble and allowing me to see, okay, if you do this all on your own, you're going to fail. I think that was one of the reminders this last year. And I actually work with a life coach, and one of the things that he keeps reminding me of is I need to let go and let God. And so that was something that, you know, it's easy to do in the successes, like, oh yeah, whatever, like it's going to be whatever. I finish on the podium, finish on with a win, whatever else, spray the champagne. But letting it happen in the bad times too, that's really hard. I mean, letting God take control instead of yourself, that's where it hurts. I mean, it's easy to win. It's hard to lose. So this last year was challenging, and I think it'll be a better 2024.
Well, let's talk about some of the good things that happened last year. I mean, first of all, the opportunity to kind of share your faith was really on display. I read about these faith nights that you held at Indy races. That sounds amazing. And I've heard about these in other sports. Share with us what's going on there.
Yeah. So this was actually a really cool event. Nashville is a street race for us. So we're downtown in the streets of Nashville racing. And before the weekend started, we got to do what we called a faith in the fast lane. And like you said, you hear about it, you know, baseball, football, whatever else it may be, they have like the faith night. Well, this was our faith night. We needed that in motorsports. And so we had a young artist come out. He did a little worship session before I got up on stage. And then I just kind of got to share my faith through racing on stage and kind of tie the two together, kind of share my passion and my faith and where God has taken us on this journey. And we want to keep doing this, actually. This is a plan that we are going to have going through this next season in 2024 to do this at multiple events, get multiple artists to go around and sing and just kind of entertain, and then also just kind of share that faith and have it be a good time where people can share their faith and also their passion of motorsports, because it's not something that's too common, I don't think, in IndyCar racing for some reason. Maybe it's because of the European influence. I think I'm only one of 8 Americans right now in IndyCar. And so I'm trying to use my voice for what matters, and I know that God has given me this platform to use. And so I'm just trying to use it to the best of my ability.
What was the reaction you got from those that attended and were able to be a part of it?
It was very positive. Very, very positive. I think everyone was quite surprised that we were able to do that well with a started up event a couple weeks before. And yeah, it was really cool too, just because it's something that I got to share on a race weekend. Usually it's go, 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 go. And I'm so focused on, you know, where to turn left and where to turn right, and not be able to share my faith. But it gave me an opportunity to kind of pour out ahead of the weekend, and I was able to perform at a higher level, I think, because of the peace that I had from that event.
Interesting. So take me through a week. I mean, obviously 2024 season hasn't started yet. It's coming up soon, March 10th in St. Petersburg. We'll talk about that in a second. But let's go based upon last year, maybe what you learned to instill this year from a discipleship perspective. Like during the season, during, like you say, it's, you just want to know where you're going left or right and where to turn next and where you're supposed to be and preparing for the race. But obviously we don't just put our faith on the side and say, okay, I'll check back with you when the season's over. No, it doesn't work like that with God. So how are you able to stay connected to the Lord during the season?
Yeah. You know, at the beginning of the year last year, I don't think I did a very good job of that, because I was honestly overwhelmed with all the IndyCar is and off track and on track. I mean, there was days during the month of May around the Indy 500 where I'd have an interview at 7 a.m. and I'd have my last dinner for a sponsor at 7 p.m. And then I would have to go watch a video after that and then go to bed and hopefully wake up the next day not completely exhausted from talking all day. So, you know, I think that the best way that I've found is to put purpose into the interactions that I have, and faith allows me to do that. And so the second half of the year, we tried to do like that Faith in the Fast Lane event. We tried to host some other nonprofits at the racetrack. We work with a group called Kingdom Racing, and trying to, you know, share the gospel and kind of provide hope to kids that are in the Big Brothers and Big Sisters program or other things like that at the racetrack. You know, because God gives us talents and abilities and options to have passions, because he wants us to be co-creators with him. I mean, that's what he desires for our life, is for us to kind of create things that we can be purposeful in that honor him and be excellent at that. And so kind of creating these opportunities to share has allowed me to feel purpose outside of the race car. You know, it's really easy to feel purpose on the really good winning days, like I said, but on those days where it's just hard and you feel beaten down, having that outlet to have purpose and a passion away from it has been really helpful.
Well, another thing that you do that I think is extremely effective personally is you put a Bible verse on your car. And I think that's the first time that's ever happened, right?
I think so. Yeah. I think we had the first Indy car with John 3:16 on it. And that was inspired by Tim Tebow. I mean, I grew up watching him win the national championship, and I used to run a pink duct tape cross on the front fairing of my go-kart with a verse on it that was different every week. And I try to keep it John 3:16, but sometimes I change it up, go Hebrews 11:1 or something like that. So For sure, it was really cool to see that this last year, and kind of the encouragement that I got from people. I mean, it was cool to see in the midst of a lot of canceling of faith aspects in the sports or media world that there was some real cheerleaders that allowed us to kind of feel the love from that and feel like there was a lot of help behind it.
Yeah, it's a and plus like it's evangelistic in the sense that if somebody sees that, it's just like the old, I mean, I don't you're 21, right? So back in the 70s, I was like 5 years old, so I don't even really remember this, but in my research, like there used to be a guy who would go and hold up the John 3:16 sign at every football game. So when you kick an extra point in the end zone, is John 3:16 on a sign. You can go look it up on NFL films and all these different places for football games. And then the Tebow situation, like who you grew up with the eye black, right? That says John 3:16. For you, this is in essence your eye black. This is a chance for you to stand out and share your faith openly and, you know, not do it in an intrusive way where you're forcing anything on anybody, but just to say, hey, this is who I am and this is what I believe.
Absolutely. And I think it's so important too, because people don't want to listen to some guy that's, you know, shouting on the street corner all the time. They want someone that's genuine in their faith and they're living it out. So racing is my platform to do that.
Have you seen young people ask questions or even just fans in general and be able to come up to you and say, all right, I see your face important. Like, is, you know, can you tell me more? Is this something I should believe in? Have you had opportunities like that?
Absolutely. Yeah, all the time. And it's actually really cool because last year, and this is one of those you don't know what God's doing until you see it in hindsight, but I was going into Indy 500 and I was one of the last three drivers to qualify. And so what that meant was I was at one of the last chance qualifiers for the last row. So there's 33 cars that make it in. There was 34 that signed up. So one of the guys is getting booted. Well, I was one of the guys that was trying not to get booted. And as I'm going out for the final practice, or sorry, final qualifying run, there was people hanging on the fence yelling at my parents that were on the sideline there, asking, hey, what is that on his windscreen? The John 3:16, is that like a time or something? Like, who is that? And so they got to kind of share the gospel because of that. And so it was really cool to see, because I think people don't think faith is something they can call on today. They think it's just a life insurance policy, right? That you call on when you die. And it's like, no, that's not how it works. Like, faith is something that is usable every day that we wake up, and it makes your life so much more enjoyable. God doesn't want us to suffer. He wants us to live life to the fullest. I mean, that's what it says in the word. And so, having that faith, it helps in the day to day, and it gives us purpose in what we need to do in that day to day.
Yeah, that's really well said. Stingray Rob is joining us here on Sports Spectrum in 2024, this year, season two in IndyCar. You'll be driving the number 41 Chevrolet powered IndyCar with AJ Foyt Racing. I see it on your shirt there. This has got to be an exciting time for you as you get ready for year two.
It is, absolutely. I think that this team is definitely on the upswing. They finished third in the Indy 500 this last year. They've got a recent partnership with Penske, Team Penske. And between those two teams, and obviously the name AJ Foyt Racing is synonymous with winning, I think it'll be a good deal. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, and then the first race Sunday, March 10th, the Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg. What do you have to do between now and then? When people hear this, it'll be right before the race, but between now and then, as we record this in the winter here, what are you doing to prepare for a full season? What's the off-season regimen to get ready for this season?
Yeah, I mean, our off season runs from end of September all the way to beginning of March, and so that time is spent, you know, prepping cars, getting physically ready. Because I think what people don't realize a lot of times is that IndyCar doesn't have power steering, and when you're doing 230 miles an hour, not having power steering makes it really hard to drive, especially when you're in the car for 2.5, 3 hours, no air conditioning, nothing like that. So there's events where we have cockpit temperatures that are around 130 degrees Fahrenheit for 3 hours without power steering. And so my job as the driver is to be physically prepared so that when I get in the car, I can hold my head up, my neck is nice and strong, I can still hold onto the wheel by the end of the race and tell the car where to go. But along with that, you know, part of what makes success is working with a team. And so that'll mean pit stop practices, dealing with engineers, trying to figure out ahead of time what I need to work on as a driver, what they need to work on as a car setup, and kind of integrate those two together, because a car that works for someone might not work for me. There's different driving styles that are required in order to go fast. So, you know, someone told me a long time ago, there are no absolutes in racing except for the result. When the result happens, that's when you can say, okay, that was good or bad. But until that point, I mean, you don't know how to tune the race car until you got it figured out. And so getting into the swing of things here, the team is also based out of Indianapolis. So that means I can go in the shop all the time, meet with the guys, meet with the crew, and do some pit stop practices with them.
I feel like there's such a great parallel to what you just described in our faith. Like it requires a team. You can't do the, it is a personal faith. You're the only one out there driving. But man, do you need a team of people around you to help you in your walk with Christ and certainly to help you be the best driver you can be? There's a lot of parallels there, isn't there?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a great reminder. And I think that that's where a lot of my faith has come from through racing. It's because it is parallel and those things, they intersect so well. And so for me, it's been kind of fun to see. You know, I think that there's a lot to learn from racing on the faith side and a lot to learn from faith on the racing side.
Yeah, well, hopefully those two continue to intersect for you as you move forward here, not only in 2024, but going forward, Stingray. My last question, you listen to this podcast, so you probably know exactly where I'm going with this question, but what's the Lord showing you right now? What's he teaching you as you get prepared for season two with IndyCar? What's the great lesson he's teaching you?
Oh man, I think recently, I mean, I've been doing a study on David pre-kingship, and so I've been trying to learn how to be a leader, even when it's not my time to lead yet. And you know, the great reminder I keep having is that it's not for my glory, it's for his glory. And when I keep that front and center, I'll be able to do what I need to be prepared so that when he calls me to have that role, I have the abilities. And so there's a season for everything. And so I'm just hoping that this season is the successful one, but I have to have the faith on both sides of it in order to get the right things done.
Yeah, and being prepared both racing but also in your faith, that reminds me of a verse, 1 Peter 3:15. I don't know if you know this verse. Peter talks about always being prepared to give a reason for the hope that's within you. Do it with gentleness, do it with respect. And the always being prepared part is so important, I think, both for believers but also for our jobs, our roles, whatever we're doing, is to be prepared for that moment when God says, okay, now go. And that go could be to go tell someone. That go could be to, hey, this is your moment here to shine, but to be prepared. So that's a good reminder, Stingray Rob. I love talking to you, by the way. This is awesome. Your name is the best. By the way, Rob is your last name, right? Like if
That's
people,
correct.
if I'm talking to you from a professional perspective, I'm calling you Mr. Rob, right?
That's
Not
my
Mr.
dad.
Stingray.
Stingray's great. I like Stingray.
All right, I won't call you Mr. Rob. That sounds good, my man. Well, listen, this has been wonderful. Can't wait to watch your race on Sunday, March 10th as the season kicks off in Florida with the Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg. You're going to be driving the number 41 Chevrolet-powered IndyCar with AJ Foyt Racing. He is the one and only Stingray Rob. Thanks for joining us, buddy. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Jason.
And many thanks to Stingray Rob for being our guest today on Sports Spectrum. He definitely has the title for coolest name in the history of the Sports Spectrum podcast, right? I mean, maybe if we get Mr. T on or The Rock on someday, that might rival Stingray Rob, but he's got definitely the coolest name that we've had on this podcast. And what a great story, right? Just 21 years old. This is a guy who loves Jesus and wants to be as intentional about his faith as he does to be intentional about being the best race car driver he can be in the IndyCar series. And we'll be watching. Look for the number 41 Chevrolet powered IndyCar when you're coming across a race, especially the Indy 500, which he hopes to qualify for. Obviously, that's way down the road, a couple months away. But number 41, that's the number, Stingray Rob with AJ Foyt Racing, and can't wait to see him continue his journey as his career blossoms and grows here in the IndyCar circuit, and just wish him nothing but the best. We appreciate you as well for tuning in. Make sure you check us out at our website, sportspectrum.com, and wherever you listen to podcasts, whether it's Apple or Spotify or Amazon, wherever you listen, make sure you click that subscribe button or that follow button. That way you never miss any episodes of the Sports Spectrum podcast and conversations like this with Stingray Rob. I thought it was cool that he actually listens to the podcast. So he was familiar with the work that we're doing. And we want to highlight those guys like Stingray Rob and point people to him so that Stingray Rob can then point people to Jesus. And we want to do that as well with the Sports Spectrum podcast. So we really appreciate you for tuning in. We love you and we hope you'll join us next time for another edition of the Sports Spectrum Podcast. I hope you have a great rest of your day, and we will see you soon.